Zocha to daven Kippur Katan here with the yeshiva yesterday. Hachana for Rosh Chodesh. And in a certain sense, today was Rosh Chodesh. And tonight, in a sense, is the night of Rosh Chodesh as well. Even Mitzad Adin. If we were living now in the beginning of the Bayi Sheni period, so tonight the Shluchei Beis Din will be out there on the mountaintops, waving torches and sending the message far and wide for hundreds of miles that today Beis Din was Mekadesh the Chodesh. Gemara says in the second parak of Maseches Rosh Hashanah that beautiful image from the beginning of the Bayi Sheni period of the ideal way of telling the Jews in Galus that it's Rosh Chodesh using the torches, that was Dafka in such a situation. In a situation where Beis Din was actively Mekadesh the Chodesh, the situation where it was a 29-day month, as Teves was, and Beis Din had chosen to Mekadesh the Chodesh today instead of tomorrow. So tonight, the night of the second of the month, would be the night that we tell the world that we brought in Kedushas Rosh Chodesh. So in many ways, even Mitzad Adin, we could say holding by Rosh Chodesh Shvat tonight. And I'd love to explore together. I'm glad I was attuned to where I wax Mishlita would point us. I want to explore together a little bit of the significance, not only Rosh Chodesh in general, but Rosh Chodesh Shvat in particular. There is an interesting machlokas, the Shana Beis Hillel, whether Rosh Hashanah Li Lanos is Tu B'Shvat or whether Shelosh Shalin Lanos was today. Was the Rosh Chodesh Shvat that we celebrate, that we would be celebrating tonight. I want to think a little bit about the significance of that at the juncture of Halacha Machshava. And I think we might be able to find something useful by accessing a fascinating essay that the Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin has in his Sefer La'or HaLach. Rav Zevin was one of the leading Talmid Chachamim in Yerushalayim in the middle of the 20th century. A fascinating, very, very multidimensional Talmid Chacham. Enormous baki, an enormous char of the man who, with a piece of paper and a pen, sketched out what the entire Encyclopedia Talmudos would look like. A man who really was the trailblazer in terms of bringing serious halach and serious lamdas to the modern Hebrew-speaking crowd for the first time. And he has an absolutely one-of-a-kind collection of essays in a sefer called La'or HaHalacha, looking at different aspects of life in the light of halacha in ways you wouldn't expect. And perhaps one of the most creative pieces is about Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. He wants to know, what's the Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel? And you wonder, well, which one? There are hundreds, if not thousands, of machlokas that we have between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. But no, Rav Zevin wants to know, what is the machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? And he makes the argument that there actually is a single core machlokas of perspective that cuts through tens, if not hundreds, of the specific halachic debates between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Let's take three examples in order of increasing familiarity. We'll start at the very end of Shas, the penultimate Mishnah. The last halachic Mishnah, Maseches Uktzin. Maseches Uktzin is all about trying to figure out when is food makabel tumah, of the four things in the world that can become tumah, if you can catch tumah through transmission, food, drink, people, and kalim. So Maseches Uktzin is one of the Masechtas that deals with how do you figure out what's considered food with respect to Kabbalah's tumah. The very end of the Masechta, the very end of the third parak, the Mishnah wants to know, let's say you're harvesting honey. Honey does not grow in jars. Honey doesn't grow on the supermarket shelf. You get honey from a hive. The bees fly around. They collect nectar. They come back to the hive. And they process it lightly into honey. Okay. So if you want to actually get the honey, so you got to get the bees away. And then you got to remove the hives. You have to remove the honeycomb. And then you extract the honey. From the honeycombs, you actually have something that's edible. So the Mishnah wants to know, at what point is honey makabel tumah? What point is rei considered to be an ochel? Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Chalos dvash, when are they makabel tumah? Beis Shammai say Mishi Yecharcher, Beis Hillel say Mishi Yirasek. Beis Hillel say it's once you actually squeeze, you pulverize the wax, the comb, you're actually getting honey. You actually have a bowl, a jar of honey, that's Makabel Tumah. Beis Shammai say, no, it's an earlier stage. Mishi Yecharcher. One of the approaches is, that means once the beekeeper comes with the smoker and he starts to fill the hive with smoke and the bees begin to fly away, you don't have the honey yet, the process has begun. At that point, you can't, nothing edible yet, but once you drive the bees away with the smoke, it's Rei Mekabel Tumah. What are they arguing about? Machlokas number two. A little closer to home. For those who are Asuk in the world of Torah Sasfekis, Maseches Bava Basra, although officially this Machlokas appears in Maseches Sota. The Mishnah wants to know, so let's say you have a woman who's a Sota Safek, we're not sure whether Zinsa, Lo Zinsa, we're not sure whether she lost the rights to her Ksuba or not. We could solve the Safek. We're spending so much time thinking about different ways that the Halacha gives us, different tools the Halacha gives us to resolve a Safek. It could be a Rove, it could be a Chazak Nimekara, it could be a Muchzakas, it could be a Cheskes Marakama, maybe it's a Cheskes Gemoshanim, whatever that might be. The most unusual way that Halacha gives you for resolving a Safek is, if a woman is a Sota Safek, let her drink the Mei Sota, the way the Pesukim described in Parshas Naso. If she passes the test, she passes the ordeal, she has no physical response, then we can rest assured that she is Tahora Labayla. Otherwise, it's a Safek. Okay? Mesu Baaleya, and a Sota whose husband passes away before she had the chance to drink the Mei Sota, before she had the chance to resolve the Safek. So we're not sure. Asur Labayla and Teres Labayla. Her husband's no longer alive, but did she lose the ksuba or not? So the Mishnah says, Beis Shammai say she keeps the ksuba. Beis Shammai say she keeps the ksuba. Zil say, no, she doesn't keep the ksuba. What's the issue? It's a Safik issue. So how do you deal with Safik? So you all know at this point, what's the rule? Safik Mamun, what's the rule? Hamotzi Mechavero. Al Haraya. Who's the Muchzak? So the Gemara says, well, Beis Shammai say, she's the Muchzakas. Beis Hillel say, he's the Muchzak, or his estate. What do you mean? But the money is his. So Beis Shammai say, she has a star. Star homed ligbos kegavli dami. She has a star. It's ki'ilu she already collected. So she's like the Muchzakas. The suffix, she gets the money. Beis Hillel say, what do you mean? She has a star. It's very nice, but no money has changed hands. The money is still in the possession of the husband's estate. There's a suffix, the estate wins. Okay, so far what do we have? One machlokas by Shai and Beis Hillel about, is honey only food once it's actually edible or once you start the process? Okay. Another machlokas by Shai and Beis Hillel, if there's a suffix over who owns the money in a shtar, who is the muchzak? Okay. I told you we would go and increase in three machlokas in order of increasing familiarity. So the uktzin, I hope you've learned Uktzin, but if not, if you have not yet, that sounds a little unfamiliar. Okay, the Sota case, we're learning Bava Basra, learning Taras HaSfeikas, this sounds a little familiar. Everybody knows Chanukah. It's not a Mishnah, but it might be the most famous Machlokes B'Shem B'Sol of all. Gemara says, Kot Sabraisa, right, the highest level of Hidur, every night you light a different number, Kefi the number of the nights, but how do we count that? So we follow Beis Hillel. The first night is one, the second night is two. Most of the Vaholech. You keep stepping up. Until finally, the eighth night, you're lying eight Neiros. And Beis Shammai say the reverse. The first night is eight, the second night is seven, and then six. Keneged hayamim hanichnasin. According to the number of nights that are still left. Three machloks in Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And you're looking at me and you say, what's Cohen talking about? One's about Taurus, one's about Dini Mamanus, one's about Chanukah, what do they have to do with each other whatsoever? You want to hear godless from Zevin? You want to hear godless? He says, you know what they're all about? We'll start with the one with which we began that seemed at first the most remote. What was the machlokas? When is honey makabel tumah? When is honey an ochel, a mashke? When would you say? Well, when is it edible? When it's edible? When you've removed all the wax, then you have a bowl of usable honey. And that's what Beis Hillel say. Mishi Yirasek, you actually have extracted usable honey, Mekabel Tumah. What would Beis Shammai say? Mishi Yecharcher. One pshat is once you start smoking the bees. And once you smoke all the bees out of the hive, now you can eat it? No. But what did happen? What happened? You're on the road. We've begun a process. It's potentially edible. Is it actually edible? Not yet. They still say, when it's actually edible, that's when it's an ochel, a mashkin, a kabel tumma. They shamay say, once I see real potential, they shamay are focused on the potential. They still are focused on what is, and they shamay are focused on what could be. Number one. Number two, machlokas and sota, in the fourth parak. This woman is a sota safek. I'm not sure if she's entitled to her ksuba or not. And we no longer have access to me sota because her husband's passed away. So now we need to bite the bullet and make a call. And what's going to be? She's a safek. So who's a muchzah? Who's a muchzuk? So you would say, I would say, and indeed we do pass like Basil. Who's a muchzuk? Where's the money now? It's the property of the estate of the husband. So safek she loses. The husband's estate is the muchzik. And why do Beis Shammai disagree? Because they say, shtar home with ligbos, ki gavui dami. She had a shtar, it's as though she collected. What is this, fairy tales? She didn't collect. What do you mean it's as though she collected? The answer is no, Zevin says. I mean, she hasn't actually collected yet, but if she has a shtar, as you know, right, the whole discussion beginning of Cheskabat and get started because you don't have a shtar, so now we have to figure out what's going on. But if you had a shtar, it would be simple. You have a shtar, you have a raya ready to go. You are fully empowered to collect. Did you collect yet? No. They still say we're looking for actual. Did you actually collect? No. It's not gavur. But Beis Shammai say, let's look beyond. You haven't collected yet, but if you have a shtar, we're not talking about Hahu Arba. We're not even talking about Hu Gavra, my boss Bahayara, my boss Bahayara. You have a shtar. You are equipped to collect. You have the power to collect. You have the potential to collect. Beis Shammai say, I see potential. Ki ilu gavri. So two different Beis Shammais in two different places. I see potential for it to be edible. Ki ilu, it's already edible. I see potential for this to be collected. Ki ilu, it's already collected. You're the muchzik. Misota. And finally, Chanukah. What do they argue about in Chanukah? 1 to 8, 8 to 1, what's it all about? Now you look at it shitchiistic. Let's see, we're usually, Beis Shammai, they're so pessimistic. They're going down and down and down. None of that. What did they say? They still are looking at how many days of Chanukah have I already celebrated? How many days of Chanukah have I already experienced? And the answer is the first night, 1. And the second night, 2. The third night, 3. How many days of Chanukah do I already have under my belt? That's what Beis Shammai are looking at. That's what Beis Hillel are looking at. That's what we do. And what was the language of Beis Hillel? Keneged Hayamim. Keneged Hayamim Hayotzim. How many days have already gone by? And Beis Shammai said, Keneged Hayamim HaNichnasim. How many days do I have left? How many days are yet to come? Your potential is at its maximum on the first day of Hanukkah. All of Hanukkah is ahead of you. There are 8 days left. Beis Shammai say, light 8. On the last night of Hanukkah, you have only 1 night of Hanukkah left. Beis Shammai say, you light 1. In other words, to put it all together, 3 totally disparate areas of halacha, but the same core machlokas of perspective. Are you more focused on the actual or the potential? For this physicist in the room, are you more looking at the kinetic or the potential? Look at what is, or look at what could be. They still look at what is. Is it now Roy Lachila? Is it now collected? How many days of Hanukkah have I already experienced? The Shammai are more focused on the potential. Am I already en route to being edible? We got the process started. Is she already empowered? She could get the money. She's already a muchzaka. How many days of Hanukkah are left yet to experience? How much of Hanukkah remains to be embraced? Beis Hillel look at the actual, Beis Shammai look at the potential. Now let's come back to home base. So here we are, Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Or if you will, we've begun the day, the first night of the days in between Beis Shammai's Rosh Hashanah Leilanos, Aleph Shvat, and Beis Hillel's Rosh Hashanah Leilanos, Tu B'Shvat. So now all of a sudden, we're not just looking at, it's one of a 100, one of 1,000, one of 10,000 machol for the Shan Basil. No. The Shan Basil have a mahalach. Throughout halacha, throughout life, they're looking with different lenses. Are you focused primarily on what is? Are you focused primarily on what could be? What remains to be done? What potential is yet untapped? They say, oh, the Shama. So what's this whole Rosh Hashanah Ilanus all about? What's this whole Rosh Hashanah Ilanus all about? So Rabbi Waxman, in just a line, already touched on a comment that Evarilei Pomeranchik makes in his Torah Zram. And see, Evarilei Pomeranchik, one of the great Talmidim of Rav Velvel of Brisk HaRav, actually grew up in the town of Brisk. It was a real town called Brisk. It's not merely a conceptual framework, a real place with cows and houses and people and families. And there was a young Arilei Pomeranchik who grew up in the town of Brisk and spent years, apparently, learned by Brisk HaRav. That was the local yeshiva. At least three svarim of his Torah have been published. One of which is Torah Zraim. It's Chiddush HaMan Zraim. So he talks about Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yadalad, about this idea of Rosh Hashanah. What's it all about? So usually you try to figure out for each food that grows from the ground, which year's crop is it? Is it last year's crop? Is it this year's crop? And usually, let's say, for instance, you pick vegetables. So vegetables, the din is it a Tavshin Pei Gimel pepper or Tavshin Pei Dal pepper? Various, relevant for a couple, without getting into the details, kind of relevant for Trumas Samaisers. I need to know what year does this crop belong to. So usually, for a vegetable, you say, when was it picked? Was it picked before Rosh Hashanah? It's last year's pepper. It's picked after Rosh Hashanah? This year's pepper. I'm looking at grain. Did it get to the point of a third grown or barely edible before Rosh Hashanah? It's last year's wheat. Did it only get to that point of development after Rosh Hashanah? It's this year's wheat. All of a sudden, you come to fruit trees. Oh no, is this apple last year's apple or this year's apple? So what year are we in now? Tavshin Pei Dalet. You sure? Maybe. So we are in Tavshin Pei Dalet, except for fruit. If a fruit reaches early stage of flowering, of chanata, so I need to know, did it happen before Rosh Hashanah Lilanus or after Rosh Hashanah Lilanus? So two things. Number one, what's that all about? What's that all about? So Rashi says, Gzeirus HaKasav, instead of looking at Rosh Hashanah, Alef Tishrei, look at right now in Shvat. Alef Shvat, Tu B'Shvat, and that's going to be the koveya for trees. It's not, according to Beis Hillel, we're still in Tavshin Pei Gimel. According to Brazil, Tavshin Pei Dalet for trees only starts in 2 weeks from now in Tu B'Shvat. Interesting. Tosfos says, no. Tosfos says, I really want to know what was going on deep inside the tree Rosh Hashanah time. But I can't see what's going on deep inside the tree. It's not a vegetable, it's a big tree. Can't see what's going on. So if I look what happened 4.5 months later, I'll know what happened to Rosh Hashanah time. So if the visible chanata happens after Tu B'Shvat, that means that there was something going on in the tree after Rosh Hashanah. It's this year's fruit. But if I see that the chanata happened last week, so then I know there was something going on deep inside the tree 4.5 months ago before Rosh Hashanah. Okay. So one interesting idea is to think about signs of growth, visible growth, sometimes as an indication of what was going on deep inside at an earlier stage. And we'll come back to that in a moment. But let's talk about Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. When is this Rosh Hashanah Ilanus? What am I looking for? When does this new season begin? This new year, according to Rashi. When do Beis Hillel say the new year begins on Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat? Got another 2 weeks to go. Beis Shammai say, no. It was already today, Aleph Shvat. What's the difference between the first of the month and the 15th of the month? What does that have to do with Beis Shammai Beis Hillel? We live a little further from nature than the El Tzeis and El Tebavas. What's the major difference between the first of the month and the 15th of the month? The moon, right? That is the difference. What about the moon? You tell me. What does the moon look like in the middle of the month? Tu B'Shvat. Full. What does the moon look like Rosh Chodesh time? Practically invisible. In other words, mamash l'shitasam. I would suggest it's B'Shamay B'Shil mamash l'shitasam. B'Shil say, you know when we begin? When the moon is at its maximum. When there's max. And you know what B'Shamay say? Also when the moon is at its maximum. Maximum what? B'Shil say, l'shitasam. I'm looking what actually is. Tu B'Shvat is when the moon is the largest, when the moon is the brightest. In actuality, that's Beis Hillel's take. Beis Shammai say, Rosh Chodesh time now, even if it wasn't raining, you would look outside, you wouldn't see much. At this point, the moon already set also. If you're outside right after Shkia, you would catch a little sliver. There's barely anything to see. There's barely anything that's already happened, which means the potential is that it's maximum Rosh Chodesh time. They still are focused on what is. And what is the moon actually being visible? It's at its max in the middle of the month. The Shammai are looking at potential. Potential is at its maximum when nothing is yet visible. All the growth is yet to come. And it could be then halacha it's a machlokas, and in halacha it has to be a machlokas. Because you need to make a call. Either we're going to be kovea the year, the crop of the apple based on yesterday or based on 2 weeks from now. Either you're going to start with one candle and go till eight, or you're going to start from eight and go to one. It's one way or the other. Either she is entitled to her ksuba or she's not entitled to her ksuba. Either the honey is ready in mekabeltum or it's not ready in mekabeltum. In the world of halacha, you got to make your choice. Either you're going to give precedence to the perspective of potential, Beis Shammai, or you can give preference and primacy to the perspective of the actual, what already is. In the world of halacha, it has to be one or the other, and Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel differ. But in the first night, which is a machlokes, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, about whether we're ready in Rosh Hashanah Ilanus or not, I would suggest thinking about the fact that while in halacha it has to be one or the other, when you reflect on the hashkafa that the halacha teaches me, it is both at the same time. You need to have Beis Shammai eyes and Beis Hillel eyes. You have to focus on what, when you think about yourself and your growth and your trajectory, you have to focus on what is and what I've accomplished, and you also have to, with one eye, and with the other eye, you're looking at what's my potential, and what's yet to come, and how can I grow. And your growth, maximizing your growth in a healthy, balanced, and absolutely ambitious way requires both a Beis Shammai perspective and a Beis Hillel perspective. You have to focus on what is and what you've accomplished, and you have to absolutely focus on where my potential lies and how much is yet untapped that I can tap in a healthy, ambitious way going forward. And this pair of perspectives on what I've already done and what I've already accomplished, and at the same time looking at how much can I yet do and how much more I can dream of accomplishing, it's not just a detail. It is absolutely definitional. And I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it to you using the Rambam, who himself points out that he's right now telling us one of the primary ideas of Judaism. Smack in the middle of Hilchas Tshuva, the beginning of Perek Hamishi of Hilchas Tshuva, the Rambam says, I need to tell you one of the core ideas of Yadus. One of the core ideas of living as a Jew is to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created you with a body and a soul. One of the gifts he gave you is the gift of free will. Rambam says, if you deny Bechira Chafshes, if you think that you're a robot, if you think that you're a mere Newtonian deterministic automaton, and I don't really get to do anything, I is what I is, and this is the way I was born, this is the way I am, this is where I'm going to be. If you don't believe in radical free will, the Rambam says, you are missing out on one of the basics of Judaism. But what does it mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu has mitzvahs and averus and schar v'onus, that Kadosh Baruch Hu has expectations and dreams of what we could be? It all presumes real free will. It all presumes radical bechira chafshes. You can really make choices. This is not a detail. This is central to being a living, breathing, striving Jew. And the Rambam says, listen carefully. He says, and don't think Bechir Harsh is upset. I could be a little bit more like this, a little bit more like that, but basic, you know, it is what it is. And Rambam says, no, you could be mamish like this or mamish like that. And he says, you could be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Or you could be like, who is the opposite of Moshe Rabbeinu? The Rambam. Did anyone say that without already having seen the Rambam? No. So Baruch Hashem, you saw the Rambam. At the same time, you'll consider the following two questions. Number one, Moshe or Yeravam? Of all the anti-Moshe figures I could have thought of, I don't know, Moshe or Paro, Moshe or Haman, Moshe or a lot of other people. Yeravam, number one, means the Rambam learned Tanakh. Okay. Apparently, learning Tanakh is not Bittul Torah, Baruch Hashem. There are even stronger rises in Rambam and the rest of Judaism for that. But the Rambam knew his sefer Melachim. Yeravam, of all the people, he was a terrible Rasha. There are many terrible Rasha. Why Yeravam? And by the way, what's with Moshe? The Rambam is the one who told us that of all the people that you could be like him, no one else in the history of humanity has his name in the 13 Ikari Amuna. Specifically, that we believe Be'amuna Shleim, that no one could be a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. Of all the people to say you could strive to be him, no, you can't. So what's with Moshe? And what's with Yeravam? This is mean. And this is not a detail. This is central Judaism 101. It says this is Mamish Ikari Emunah. What does it mean? I'll tell you what I think it means. Can I be a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu? Of course not. There are a lot of things I obviously can't be like Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not Ikari Emunah. It also happens to be a truism of physics that Moshe Rabbeinu lived over 3,000 years ago and I cannot live over 3,000 years ago. We haven't yet figured out the backwards time travel. And I cannot have been born in Mitzrayim. There are a lot of ways, of course, I cannot be like Moshe. What does he mean you could be like Moshe? Not to be a Navi like Moshe. But he probably does mean, the comment that Rabbi Chaim Volozhin quotes from the Zohar, that Moshe Rabbeinu was unique not only in being a Navi like none other. He was unique in totally tapping into his potential. He full HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed him with enormous potential, and more than any other human being, he actualized close to 100% of what he could have been. Yeravam? Do you know that we don't have time to get into the whole fascinating and tragic story of Yeravam? But he was one of the worst Rishayim, he's one of the worst Rishayim we have had. All of Sefer Melachim is full of, and this king was continued the evil of Yeravam. They're all knockoff. Every single Melech Yisrael, bar one, is a knockoff of Yeravam. And it gets worse. He was so bad. He was so low. He was so destructive. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Yeravam, do tshuva, and you and I and David HaMelech will take a walk together in Gan Eden. Aniva achazor b'cha, aniva atu ben yishay and tal yachad b'Gan Eden. Wow. It didn't work well. Because Yeravam's gaiva got in the way. He said, me Barosh, who's going to be first, me or David HaMelech? Kadosh Baruch said, you'll be number two to David. And Yeravam says, no deal. So that's a testament to the destructive, irrational power of gaiva. But consider for a moment, I don't know exactly what it means to take a walk with that Kadosh Baruch in Gan Eden. But if it's clearly an extraordinary madrega to be shared only by David HaMelech and Yeravam, this is a man who had unbelievable spiritual potential. Could have been one of the greatest of all Jews. And instead he actualized almost none of his potential. The Rambam isn't saying you could do the things that Moshe did, nor is he saying you could do the things that Yeravam did. He's saying you could do the things that you can do to the extent that Moshe did the things that he could do. Pretty close to 100%. Or you could do as many of the things that you can do as Yeravam did, pretty close to 0%. You could actualize your potential fully or not at all. Isn't it interesting? then the central defining idea, the Rambam says, at the center of all of halacha, the center of the whole idea of growth and tshuva and change and dream, the yisod of bechira chavshus. I could be this or I could be that. I could be like Moshe, I could be like Yeravim in terms of how much of my potential I realize. How much my potential I fulfill. How much of what I could be, I bring into actuality. How much of my koach I motzi al pol. That's not a detail. That defines who you are. And that is at the center of your bechira chavshus. At your core, Kadosh Baruch Hu put you on this world to be everything that you could be. That's not just a tagline for the United States Army. You could be everything that you're built to be, or you could be some of it, or you could be a little of it. One of the central defining questions of your life, and you get to answer it, is how much of my potential am I going to realize? And it's not just going to happen today or tomorrow. Life is, about the most important, that is like a ladder. Trying to skip steps or running up two steps at a time, it can work on a staircase, it doesn't work on a ladder. You have to go step by step, and growing as a Jew, and it has to be at a gradual pace, but consistent and progressing, and another rung, and another rung, and another rung, in a healthy, balanced, and super ambitious way. You will define who you are. No one else will define that for you. And you will define it with the blend, as the Rambam says, with the blending of the Beis Shan Beis Hill perspectives. Taking pride in what I have done and noticing things that need changing that I've already done with a very strong eye to what could be. Don't just look at what is. Look at what can be. What can I be? And not just today. What are my kochos? Think. Dream. What can I accomplish this month, this year, and the next year, and the next decade? Dream big. We're capable of so much more than we give ourselves credit for. In halacha, you have to make a choice. In hashkafa, in growth, you need to be a blend of both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. These 2 weeks that we begin tonight are the perfect 2 weeks to think about it. Bein Beis Shammai le Beis Hillel, in between the Aleph Shvat, where the moon is at maximum potential, and Tu B'Shvat, when the moon, and the moon of growth, the moon of Shvat, is at its maximum fulfillment, is the perfect time to remind me to let this idea sink in, to let this and mull it over and to percolate, to be misformed this idea. What am I? What have I done? But I am not just what I have already done. I am what I have been, what I have done, and I am what I can be. All the unbelievable amount of potential that Kadosh Baruch Hu has filled me with, and I'm going to decide how much that potential I actualize. To allow myself to dream big in a healthy way, in a relaxed way, in a step-by-step, gradual way, but ongoing progress and ongoing growth, that is the way that you will define yourself in the days and weeks and months and years and some decades to come. Blending the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel to experience extraordinary growth. And Mitzvah, you look back at the Shvat of Tavshin Pei Dalet, when we were bringing in the Tavshin Pei Dalet Vilanus, and to be inspired to look back with it at the inspiration of a Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, and to look back in Mirtz Hashem in years to come, at months and years and decades of ambitious growth and ambitious thinking of what could be and tapping into what I could accomplish more and more and more, to give great nachas to Kadosh Baruch Hu, shall be zochah to give nachas to Kadosh Baruch Hu together, and to enjoy together sharing the nachas that we give each other, we give to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbos, I want to thank you once again for listening. I want to once again thank the yeshiva Bechlau, and to thank Rabbi Waxman Befrat for the opportunity to think together and to grow together. Shav great atzlacha.